Happy Sabbath, church family. Wow. Great is his faithfulness. Wow. Praise the Lord. Part of my job, I work for Better Life Broadcasting, and it's such a blessing. And there's so many things that I love about Better Life Broadcasting and doing so many things. But one of my favorite things is that every single day, the staff, we come together at 9 a.m. and we have worship together. And even though I'm not in Grants Pass, they call me and we do FaceTime. And so I'm able to see them, they're able to see me. And so we have worship together. Well, a couple of months ago, it was a Tuesday. Tuesdays is usually my new boss's turn to have worship. He is Charlie Oliver. He's the new president for Better Life Broadcasting. And so he was having worship. And something that had never happened before happened at that moment. So we have worship. He reads or shares something. And then we pray for the viewers and we pray for different prayer requests. Well, he had just started and he said, "Today I'm going to read from this book." And the opening sentence was actually a question. And let me tell you, that question, I couldn't hear anything else after that. He was still talking and reading. I'm sorry, I stayed on that question. And this was the question that he said. How can we want to be with God forever if we don't want to be with God for a moment? How can we want to be with God forever if we don't want to be with God for a moment? It was like if you were hitting, I was hitting a brick wall where I couldn't go, I couldn't move because I needed to make sure that that was answered by me. And I was thinking, wow. And this Bible verse came to my mind. And we all know it, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." What does that have to do with spending eternity with God and maybe not spending too much time now with him? Well, see, here's the thing. God loved, and this is me talking when I was there, and you can apply it to yourself, but I was thinking, God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. He gave because he loves me. And then here's the question. What am I giving him? And do I love him so much that, yeah, everybody says, who wants to go to heaven? All hands go up. But the question again says, how can we want to be with God forever if we don't want to be with God for a moment? Before we continue, why don't we pray one more time? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you because you are faithful and wonderful, and there's no one like you. You loved us so much that you gave us Jesus. And today, Lord, we believe that you are calling us to focus on spending time with you. I know that you have a message that was specifically for me. But Father, if anybody else is able to be blessed, may the blessing will continue and may hearts be open. Father, just like Samuel in the Bible, may we answer, here we are, your servant is hearing, your servants are hearing. Lord, use us for your glory as we let you come into our hearts. And Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Father, we pray that every kind of distraction, Lord, every kind of thing that will come into our mind, may that be put aside, Lord, and may you be the one speaking today and speaking directly to our hearts individually. We want you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be showing you some pictures of some events that have happened this year. And as I show you these pictures, I want you to have three questions. The questions are individual, so you have to answer yourself. Don't answer out loud. Don't raise your hand. Just kind of answer to yourself. And these are the questions. The questions is, the first one is not there. The first one is, oh, did I go to that event? Were you there? That's the first question. The second question is, why did I go? And then the third question, what's the purpose? So if you went to these events, you'll be able to answer the first two, yes, I did, why did I go? If you didn't go, that's okay, because I still would like you to think about what's the purpose of this event? What was the purpose? So here's the first picture. You see it? I don't know if it's very clear up there, but it's the 10 days of prayer, very early during the year. Were you there? Why were you there? And what was the purpose of getting together for 10 days of prayer? Here's the second one. I think most of us were able to attend this. The evangelistic meetings with David Machado. Were you there? Why did you come? And what was the purpose of this event? Here's another one. This is at Gladstone Camp meeting. I know many of you may not have been there. Maybe you were at Light Bearers. But even if you were not, what is the purpose of events like this, camp meetings? Here's another one. Family groups. I believe they're still meeting, yes? Every Friday. Did you go? Do you still go? Why do you go? Here's another question. Why don't you go? What's the purpose of this meeting together as a family? Here's another one. Vacation Bible School. I know most of us didn't go, maybe, but your children or your neighbors, or do you know of the children? Why? What was the purpose of Vacation Bible School? Here's another one. And all of you can say, I'm here. We're here. Why do we come to church? What's the purpose? It doesn't stay there, just coming Sabbath after Sabbath. Look at this list. Sabbath school. Why do you come to Sabbath school? Divine worship. Fellowship meal. Vespers. Bible classes. Music practice. Prayer meeting. Concerts. Celebrations at BLC. Community service. RJA events. Baptisms. Weddings. Funeral services. Why do we go? What's the purpose? Okay, I'm going to give you just a few answers here, and some of them you're probably going to say, yep, that's what I answered. These are good answers. Listen to this. Number one, well, to give who the glory? God the glory. I know it's really tiny, so I'll read it for you. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to who? Your Father in heaven. We do these things to give God the glory. Number two, because we're seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we want to participate in the latter rain, correct? Yes, amen. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place that they had gathered together was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. How many of you would love to be filled with the Holy Spirit to participate of the latter rain? Praise the Lord. Number three, we go because we have been called to serve the Lord in reaching the lost. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Why do we go and we attend all these activities? To encourage one another, amen? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is manner of some, but exhorting one another or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And here's the last one. Because we want to prepare to go to heaven, don't we? Amen. The Bible says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Good answers. Good answers. But the question still remains, how can we want to be with God forever if we don't want to be with God for a moment? And you may say, no, but wait, I've gone to most of them. Or you can say, I've watched them online. I spend time with God because I go to all of them. But you see, I think that we many times are not aware that Satan is trying to do something very sneaky. He is trying to make us think that by going to different events, by being busy, by doing all these different things, you got it. You're this close with God. And that's not how it is. And today, I'm not judging. I'm telling you, this is a sermon for me. I think we need to be sincere in our hearts. There's a Bible verse in Psalms 139, 23, and 24. If you have your Bibles, you may want to read that. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, I think one of the problems that sometimes we have, it's not that we don't know about God, it's that we don't know God. See, Satan wants us to think, just know about it. You know, people will share with you, but don't have that personal relationship. You know, it's superficial. I know about God. I've read some of the stories, but to really know him, the Bible says here in John 17, 3, now this is the eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Here's another reason. Here's another thing that Satan uses, a lack of commitment. Yes, I'm all there, except if it's Wednesday. I have something to do, except if my family comes, if this, if that. And then we end up giving God less than the 100% that he really would love to have from us. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. With part or with all? With all. There's a lack of commitment. And yeah, many times we do come to events and things like that. But how is it between us and God? Are we giving that 100%? And here's another one, broken communication. We live in a world that communication has just gone wild. I mean, you have cell phones. I read something this week, and I hope I remember. If not, maybe my husband will remember. They had this old phone. You know the old phones? Okay, for the new people, they had this cable that was attached to the wall. And it said something like, back in those days, the telephone was they didn't use the word connected. The telephone was tied to the wall. That's what it said. In our days, we are tied to the telephone. That's what it said. Communication is just everywhere. Thing, you can just push a button and you call 911. Right? You can text somebody that is really far and everything. But what about the communication with God? I don't know if it's just me, but how many times somebody comes and shares with us a problem and we try to help them. Well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And then since we're not able to help, we go, we'll pray for you. And we leave and we forget to pray for them. The communication with God is lacking. We are too comfortable is the last one. And this is a hard Bible verse, but it says in Revelation 3:15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. We're too comfortable sometimes. We like to please others sometimes. We like to talk about self more than God. We are lukewarm sometimes, many times. And you know, it's not just a thing of our days. Back in the Bible days, the Israelites, they kept every Sabbath. They had all the festivities. They had seen miracles from the Lord, and they kept going back. There's a Bible verse that says, "But these people had a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." This is not new. Back in the days when Jesus came the first time, we are told he was in the world. The world that was made by him, and the world knew him not. It's not new. So how can we want to be with God forever if we don't want to be with God for a moment? Okay, well, no more sad news, because that's, everybody's like, oops. Now I'm feeling like that. But good news. Here's the good news. God wants us to be with him for every moment, every hour, and forever. We may not, and maybe by our actions, we're not showing that we want to be with him forever, but he does. He loves us so much. The fact that you and I are here today, oh, he loves us. He wants the best for us. And not only that, you know the thing about knowing about God? God is still calling for us to know him. Listen to this, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. See, he still is reaching out for you and me. We are not a lost cause. He loves us. He still wants us. He's still calling. We have the thing about not surrendering everything, he's still calling us to surrender. He says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Now, today, August 16, 17, 2019, today he's still calling. And then he says that he wants to restore that communication. The communication that is a bit broken. It says, "Call to me." How do we do this? Call to me, he's saying. We pray. We talk to him. Call to me, and then it says, "And I will answer you." Do you see that? Two-way communication. Call, he answers. And it says, "And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." And then the last one, to have an open heart, a surgery. It says, "Here I am and I stand at the door and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." How beautiful. He's still knocking today. Bad news, yes. We're there, lukewarm and everything. But there's good news. God wins. God wins. God wins. So what's this about? Putting all the Bible verses there, and what's that about? I mean, I don't see you writing them, and you don't have to. It's good. But this is why we have a picture of a wall. Look at this quote that just, this has been my 2019 quote. Listen to this. "Build a wall of scriptures around you, and you will see that the world cannot break it down." Build a wall of scriptures around you, and you will see that the world cannot break it down. Is that good news? Amen. Amen. There was once a king, Hezekiah. And most of you know the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah's father was not very good, and he did not very good things. But when Hezekiah took on the throne, he started by doing good things. One day he got sick. And he got so sick, and somebody, they came and they told him that he was going to die. And what did Hezekiah do? Look at this. Hezekiah turned his face to where? To the wall, and he prayed to the Lord. Now, it could have been that Hezekiah didn't want people to see him, so he turned to the wall. But a wall of scriptures will keep us, will keep the world away from us. And he trusted God. So he asked. The Bible says, ask, and it will be given. Yes. Okay, it's a promise to hold on to. And Hezekiah prayed for more years, and he was given more years. Now, here's another story, Balaam. Balaam was a prophet, right? But he was not a prophet of Israel. And yet, even someone that was of the people of God knew that God, when he speaks, it's the truth. And it's something we need to be careful. Balak wanted him to put a curse to the Israelites. And Balaam answered like this. Balak, listen to this. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of a man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God had placed a blessing, if God had a plan for the Israelites, would he go, just kidding, I'm going to change the plan? No, God does not lie. Every single promise here. God does not lie. Build a wall of scriptures, and the world cannot touch you. The world cannot get into us if we build the wall of scriptures. And this is, lately, this is one of my favorite stories. Centurion. Is that how you say it? Centurion? He had a servant who got sick, and he had heard about Jesus, so he sent first people saying, come and take care of my servant. And then he went himself, and he asked and said, you know, my servant is sick. Could you please help us? Jesus was going to go with him. And what did he say? Ah, this is gold. He said, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. And then this, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He's still speaking. What faith. What an amazing faith. And that's not all. Then we have Jesus. And usually when we think about Jesus using scriptures, we go to the temptations, right? Three. It is written, it is written, it is written. Well, I was looking and trying to find out how many times did Jesus quote it from the Old Testament that we know of, because obviously we don't have every second of every day of Jesus' life, but that we know of, it says that 78 times he quoted from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Malachi, he quoted from them. Here are just a few of them. But you know, we are told, and it's something very beautiful, we are told that every morning it was from hours spent with God that he would come forth morning by morning to bring light of heaven to men. Because he spent time with his Father. Because he spent time in scriptures. Because he was able to quote knowing what God had said. And if he did it, the Son of God, how much more should we have that relationship, that connection with the Lord? Build a wall of scriptures around you, and you will see that the world cannot break it down. At home, I decided this year to do something a little bit different, and I have, I don't know how many, like 10 different journals, one for my husband, one for the baby, one for the church family, my sister, and different like that. And every time there's a situation, I write down the situation, and then I start filling it up. I start making a wall of scriptures around it. I invite you to do that. I invite you to fall in love with God's word and to put it in test, because it's true. God does not lie. It says in Christ Object Lessons, God stands back on every promise that he has made. Amen? Here's a story. Three little stories. Last Sunday, we went to San Jose area for a week of prayer at Campbell. And let me tell you, we've never been attacked by Satan at the beginning to start a week of prayer, such as we were attacked last Sunday. I don't have time to share everything, but let me tell you, started with a broken stroller, and now we have a very nice one, different one, but still, it's just the whole day, strange things, things that were happening that we were saying, what in the world is going on? But earlier, in one of the journals, we had written Campbell's Week of Prayer. And here are the promises. And Jeremiah 29:11 was one. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And that was, we thought, for the church. But it was also us going to the church. You know that when we got there, the blessings that we saw, the things that we witnessed, not only in the church, but even outside of the church, with the community, God answers. It's a two-way communication. We claim the Bible promises. He answers our prayers. Here's another story. We have a friend. Her name is Olga. Olga is the most bubbly girl you've ever seen. She is a fun girl. Oh, you love Olga. Anyway, she has three girls. Three girls. Really cute little girls. And my friend Olga, she is one of those that talks. And I just listen, and I'm like, wow. And she told me that recently she started claiming Psalms 37:4. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And she told her husband, we need to buy a house. Are you kidding? In the Bay Area? That's impossible. And the husband was like, we're not able to. No, we're not able to. And she said, no, we need to. I'm claiming this Bible promise. And she was so sure this is happening. And she started telling her daughters. The oldest one, she must be like 5 or 6, Olivia. She started telling her mom, yeah, mommy, let's pray for the house. And they started praying, and Olivia told her mom, mommy, the new house, because now they were not just praying, asking for the house. They were saying, thank you for the house. Thank you for the beautiful house that we're going to have. It's going to be wonderful. And the neighbors. But then Olivia started saying thank you like this. And thank you for my pink room. It's going to be beautiful. And then she started saying, and thank you that the stairs that go up to the second floor are going to come straight to the kitchen. I don't know where she got that, but that's what she was saying. Thank you for the new house. Thank you for the new house. Long story short, you know what they have now? A brand new house with a pink room for Olivia and stairs that come to the kitchen. Claiming God's promises. My sister is going through the whole thing of cancer, and she is now in radiation. And she was telling me they did surgery on her not too long ago, and she said she started claiming this Bible promise, Isaiah 41:13, the one that says that he is holding to our heart. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. She said that she was terrified of surgery. And the whole time she was holding to her husband, holding to that, he's really tall, so holding to that strong hand. And she said, but then they were rolling me in the little car, and she said, and there was a moment that I had to let go of my husband's hand. And she said, and I got scared. And immediately I remember this Bible promise. And I thought, okay, he's holding me. He'll get me through this. She said, this peace came. Why? Why peace? From a Bible verse. Because God doesn't lie. because God's promises are true. And the last one, my friend Linda has had all kinds of problems financially. And in every single problem that she's had recently, one after another, she's been claiming this promise that says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows." And she said, and he has been providing, providing, providing. And then this cutie right here. You know how happy she is all the time, every single day? When we were in Campbell, people would come and say to us, "Oh, your baby. She's the most serious baby we've ever seen." Right? I see your eyes going like, "What?" She got sick. Like never. We've never seen her like this. See, she's been a very healthy baby. Never a fever. And all of a sudden, when we are there, she gets fever. Really bad. And we had to take her to the emergency room twice. And the second time we went there, we got there like around 11, Saturday. The last Sabbath we were there, 11. And we get there with our little baby who is crying, who is sad, who is so hot with fever. And we're terrified. What is wrong? They try something, it didn't. And they start doing all these tests on her. And I'm the chicken in the house. I'm the one that is like, "Oh, this is terrible." So my husband had the baby the whole time. But at one point, they had the baby and they were testing her and putting some stuff. And my husband had her like this. And I'm just like, "Oh," and I'm praying. And I see her. And I guess my husband had his arm, something like that. So she was able to turn like this. And with her little face, she's just like, "Mommy," you know, just so sad. So then they leave. And we start praying to God. And then my husband says, "You know that Bible verse that we claim for the baby and for our children every time? Psalm 4:8, I'm going to lay down and I'm going to sleep because you, God, are with me." He said, "Look at the baby." And I looked at Abby. Wow. She had this peace. No more fever. She was sleeping. That was the last Sunday she went back to smiling. And sadly, the church over there was not able to see her smile. So we took lots of pictures and we'll send it to them. But God, building a wall of scriptures around our family, around our children, around our church, what a blessing that is. Build a wall of scriptures around you and you will see that the world cannot break it. So what's on your wall? Do you have relationship problems? Are you being judged, criticized, falsely accused? Do you fear, worry? Have you been ridiculed? Do you feel alone? Are there fires or storms in your life? The violence going around? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel like a failure? Are you sick or has something touched your family, an illness? School problems, work problems, bad habits, broken things? Do you want to go on higher ground, but you just feel like you haven't been able to? Do you worry about your salvation? It says here that one sentence of scripture is of more value than what? Than 10,000 of men's ideas or arguments. And yet, how easily it is that the first time we have a problem, we don't go to hear what God is wanting to share, but we go, "Hey, I have a problem. Help me." And we go to people. Or we go to media, Facebook. "I'm not feeling good today. Oh, this happened." Why not first, even when somebody is doing something bad and we go, "Oh, that person did this," why not before we even say something, we put the God in scriptures. We build a wall of scripture around. Listen, this is so that you can see. Remember, one sentence of scripture of more value than 10,000 of men's ideas and arguments. Let me tell you, this list right here, there may be people that might be able to help you like this much. with one or two of those things. But what when somebody's dying? Somebody able to help with that? Not really. But one sentence of scripture is of more value than 10,000 of men's ideas. Just one Bible verse, just as an example, because there's so many. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. That verse alone covers all of these problems here. All of them. All of them. Don't worry. The Lord will fight for you. Last night, I was working on the PowerPoint. It was around 10 p.m. Lost everything. Broken things. This morning, we come here. The printer didn't work. Print, outline, broken things. And I started getting nervous, and then I remember, apply it to you. preach it to yourself. Build a wall of scriptures around you. The Lord will fight for you. I was sitting in the Cradle Rolls class, listening to Margie singing with the kids, and kept on putting in my head, the Lord will fight for you. I don't know if the printer is working or not, but don't worry, God will fight for you. I was there thinking, wow, with the baby and doing this and that, I didn't even get a chance to do one last two of the notes. The Lord will fight for you. He does. He does. He doesn't lie. He's not a God that lies. This here is the Great Wall of China. There's a pastor in Honolulu, Hawaii, who shared a story one day. He said that he was asked to go to China and to do like a leadership event for a group of 22 people. He said he went there, he got there, and he said, where's the room where I'm going to have this? And they said, it's this tiny little room in a hotel. And he got to the hotel room, and he said, this is tiny. For 22 people, how are we going to do this? And there's no chairs. Where are they going to sit? Oh, don't worry, Pastor, they said. They'll sit on the floor. There was no carpet, just wood. And so he thought to himself, you know, maybe we can call them and tell them if they could bring something to sit down. And they said, no, they're traveling. They're traveling. Yes, they have been in the train for 13 hours. To come to this event. When the people got there and they started having this leadership thing, he realized that out of the 22 people, 18 of them had been incarcerated just before. Why? Because they were Christians. They had been in jail and now they were out and now they were doing this. So he said to them, so if somebody finds out that I'm doing this, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? And they said, don't worry, Pastor. I mean, immediately they're just going to send you back home. And we will go to prison for 3 years. So they were taking this risk. And so he said, okay, well, let's continue. They were sitting on the wood, on the floor. And he started sharing with them things. And then he said, well, let's open to this Bible verse. And he had brought 15 Bibles. Not 22, only 15. And he thought to himself, well, they could share. But he noticed a lady first who took the Bible, gave it to someone, and just sat there. And as he would say, let's turn to 2 Peter this and that, she would start speaking what he was reading. And he thought, oh, she knew that by memory. Let's go to this other book. And she would do the same, and she would do the same. It's almost like she had memorized the whole Bible. So he came and he said, how did you do that? And she said, well, when you're in prison, you have a lot of time. And he said, okay, but how do you get Bibles in there? And she said, she said, there are people that would come and they will give us a little piece of the Bible, just a little piece of paper. And you have to memorize it right away because you don't know when they're going to take that little piece of paper from you. And she said, and that's how many of us memorize the Bible. Isn't that amazing? This pastor was so impressed by what they had done that at the end of his staying there, he said to them, you know, I just want to thank you for coming. Such a long trip, and you came. And one of the members said to him, no, no, thank you for giving us this leadership program. Could you pray, this person, this Chinese member said, could you pray that we become like you and we give leadership trainings? The pastor said, no, I'm not going to do that. How could you ask me to do that? To pray that you be like me? Uh-uh. You need to pray that I become like you, he said. That's the prayer that we need to do. He said, you guys rode on a train for 13 hours to get here. And then he said, in my country, if you have to drive more than an hour, people won't come. He said, you sat on the floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit for more than 40 minutes, they leave. In my country, if the pews are not padded and there's air conditioning, people will not come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you've memorized from pieces of paper. I will not pray that you become like us, but I will pray that we become like you. The secret of them is here. Right here. Build the wall of scriptures around you, and the world cannot touch you. So how can we want to be with God forever if we don't want to be with God for a moment? Every moment spent in God's word would increase our love for him. Every sincere moment, you and God saying, oh, he just told me this, would make the second day more and more and wanting more and more of God's word. It is my prayer that we become a church that has scripture in our hearts, that has a relationship with God, that it's preparing for heaven, not just a superficial, that we know him because we've studied, because we know that God doesn't lie. He is true to his word. My mom used to sing this song that we're going to sing to close that says, speak to me in Spanish. Oh, it sounds really beautiful. In English, too. But it says, speak to me, dear Jesus. And then it says, whisper words of love right here, right here. So as we close, I invite you to stand. And in your heart, I ask that you would invite God to give you that desire to move forward, building scriptures of wall. Speak to my soul, dear Jesus.
Speak to me, soul, dear Jesus.
we thank you because you do want to speak to us. You will not say no. But I pray that we will be willing to listen to you, to search the scriptures, to get to know you, to keep you in our heart, Lord, to answer the call of you knocking today, to make a decision to be more mindful about our communication with you, our time with you, preparing us for heaven to spend eternity with you. Thank you for your love and for calling on us today. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.